One, two, three, four.
If I were the devil, first thing that I'd do is I'd come off like I ever gave a damn about you. I'd let you catch a peek of all your greatest desires, then I'd watch the flames in your eyes burn like hellfire. Find all the wolves in the land, and I'd make them fight each other tooth and nail and hand to hand. Find all the sheep, make them stir up the pot, 'cause once the wolves have killed each other, sheep are what I want. The devil walks among us, friends, I know this is true, and I don't know if he's red, and I don't know if he's blue. One thing that I know, need to take a look around, if I were the devil, this world wouldn't be my playground.
Welcome back. There's a problem in all of this. I talked about that also, you know, the whole concept of civis pacem, parabellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. And again, when catapults are outlawed, only the outlaws will have catapults. We're moving that direction. I mean, we can see it. Law-abiding folks can see. And I've talked about this a little bit recently. I think that it would be very enlightening for the average bleeding heart liberal, for lack of a better term, you know, the gun grabbing type. Oh my goodness, no one should have, you know, only the authorities should have gun. Well, you know, then I think of Jefferson. You know, have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern man? You know, sometimes it's said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can we, you know, have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history decide. You know, The old axioms, quis custodiet ipsos custodes, who will watch the watchers, who will guard the guards. Man is inherently flawed. And yet, in a technocratic, cybernetic, communitarian world, the idea is that somehow there are those that are supremely enlightened among us. And ironically, it's usually those with, you know, a pathological narcissistic complex, technocratic administrative mindset, and you can see it. I've had personal conversations with people in, you know, industries like healthcare, and I can't remember the last one. I just had a conversation recently with somebody about how something weird happens. It was, I think, the healthcare industry, so-called. The death care industry, managed death care, is what it really should be called now, honestly. I mean, I've heard, speaking of that, I've heard a couple of conversations. One just yesterday, hey, my uncle-in-law is dying, here are the circumstances. Somebody far removed says, oh, my uncle just went through exactly the same thing somewhere else. And I'm thinking, what is happening here? Is anyone curious? Are we sharing information? Does this concern us at all? Are we concerned? It's disturbing. We're overwhelmed for sure. The zone is sufficiently flooded. Anyway, I think it would be informative for the gun grabbing types to just go through the exercise, you know, walk a mile in those moccasins for a minute. Jump through the hoops of 4473, for example, and see how you feel when you're done. What do you mean? Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Come on. Why do you feel like you need to shower after you fill out the 4473? What's the problem? You know, you feel like a criminal when you fill it out, don't you? Why is that? And then, like I said recently, you know, maybe like econ or home ec, excuse me. Classes used to be, you know, you get the baby, take care of your baby. And if you can't take care of your baby, then we'll take your baby from you. And this becomes your baby. So we'll see what happens. And by the way, if you get your baby taken away from you, you might be, you know, you might be a felon in this case. I think it would be a sobering wake-up call, a sobering reality check for a lot of folks. And who knows what that might change. I think it would be an eye-opener, to say the least, for people who think they understand a thing and all they understand is what they've been programmed to. I want to say think, but it's not really thinking. So, for whatever it's worth, you know, but the it's so interesting the way that our minds are being twisted. You know, the armed and dangerous Bernaysian psyop is one of the most effective, I think. As men, we all should be armed and dangerous, so to speak, you know, figuratively, metaphorically, if not literally. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago. That was kind of a normal thing. And now it's been vilified. And so there's a pushback against that that wants to say, no, this is what we're supposed to do. And it creates all kinds of anomalous, sort of aberrant, you know, outcroppings and behavior and things, which I don't think is unexpected. I think it's entirely planned. And all of that is generally misunderstood. But, you know, think about it. Subject is armed and dangerous. That part of what I was getting at with the Robert Card stuff is what we're watching is terrorism as theater. I keep mentioning that, Brian Michael Jenkins and that concept recently. And that's what we're watching. The idea that if you are at all remotely like someone like this Robert Card character, then, you know, obviously, you know, you're persona non grata in society and you should be locked up somewhere far, far away from everyone else because you're a danger, a threat to yourself and everyone around you. And the more you sort of dig into that and the specifics, the more you kind of go, that's strange. And there are some peculiar coincidences like the National Guard thing and the mental health thing. I know I've told this story before. I have a friend who was a decorated Army sniper. You don't get more patriotic than this guy. And he got a delay buying a shotgun once, not too terribly long ago. Why? Why would he get a delay? You know, nothing but decoration and commendation, you know, nothing but patriotism. Why would he get delayed? Very strange. And, you know, what does that do to a person psychologically? Is there an effect? And I think, you know, again, by design, so many people get weeded out because of the whole 4473 process, for example. There are so many people that don't want to go through that. And it can be very intimidating, I think, especially for a first-time prospective firearms purchaser. You know, hey, whatever you do, don't, you know, misrepresent anything on that form because you might go to prison. You might be a felon. What? That's intimidating. So, you know, we're being cowed for sure. Mental health crisis. Who decides what constitutes social norms? Like I said, the data tells us more guns, less crime. John, John Lott has pointed that out. He's been on this network several times over the years. The same holds true. I don't remember when it was recently. I want to say it was the National Intel Report, but just in recent years, you know, over the last 25 years, quarter of a century, he continues to be proven right. More guns, less crime. Understanding crime and gun control laws. And then while we're at it, speaking of intimidation, we might as well include Harvey Silverglatz, 3 felonies a day, how the feds target the innocent. But, you know, think about the term or the turn of phrase armed and dangerous. How many times has that been said on television, in movies and things, and people don't even realize they're being programmed in Bernaysian fashion, armed and dangerous. And then now what we're getting is the, what do you call it? The message for the tares, I guess, the wheat and the tares, you know, the counterfeit message. There is the kernel is what's missing. So, you know, guys like John Lovell, the warrior poet discussion, you must become dangerous, you know, how to defeat your inner coward. Jordan Peterson has talked about this. Guys like, you know, I mentioned Chad Wright earlier. He has his, you know, talking about capable of extreme violence. You have to be capable of extreme violence. And in the military, you know, one of the first things you learn is you want to control the violence. When you're fired upon, you fire back so that you can control the violence. And you say, you know, but the, you know, the general message for the sheepfold these days is run, hide, fight, or maybe run, hide, run. And, you know, keep running. So, you know, and let the authorities take care of the situation. But by, I mean, common sense, by common basic logic, there are no police. Something happens. When am I going to be able to call and say, come help me, come save me? How's that going to work? Probably not until the threat is gone and whatever damage is done, and then they come and clean up. And that's why good peace officers will tell you, you better be prepared to take care of yourself, which is where that concept comes from. Civis Pacem, Parabellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. But the interesting thing about all of this discussion, when you look at like the Jordan Peterson stuff or whatever, is, again, the question that just keeps sticking in my mind, who's in charge, who decides? That's quite a song that we played there. Colby Acuff's If I Were the Devil, you know, I'd find all the wolves in the land and I'd make them fight each other, tooth and nail and hand to hand. Find all the sheep, make them stir the pot. Because once the wolves have killed each other, sheep are what I want. So, you know, speaking of the genocide of the warrior class, you know, you send them out to die, and then when they come back, you know, we have to have a mental health screening because maybe you're dangerous. Who decides? So who's in charge, who decides, as far as I can tell, should always be God. That's why the first commandment was the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's ironic. What a full circle concept. Yeah, yeah, no other gods before me. Yeah, yeah, sure. Well, that means that ultimately he's in charge. He decides. I talked about a couple of examples yesterday that have come up recently that are provocative to me, how people, even Bernays, knew and said, most people will trust their physician more than they trust God. And we've had so many songs, you know, Metallica's Follow the God That Failed. God That Failed, that, you know, is an example. And at the same time, you know, we have the concept of bigness and authority. I've talked about this, the Salvatore Natoli quote, sort of joking in our society. We unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. So, you know, the FBI is always right, no matter what. We say, yeah, they're doing bad things, but you know what? They're always right. It's a weird schizophrenia that we have in this society. It's a very strange thing. You know, we understand that these things are wrong and that these institutions and people like Andrew McCabe should be, yeah, he shouldn't be a senior anything. Not a a very unsavory individual, I would say. But you know what? Somehow we believe in the institution. It's such a weird thing. You know, the soulless corporation that really just represents the invisible, opaque interests of some individual somewhere. And ultimately, who's influencing whom? No accountability, and it's been normalized. And I think that, you know, in the fashion of Plato's Republic, this is what was always intended. I mentioned Hegel and the worship of the state yesterday, I think. And this is what was always intended. This is the Genesis 11 redo. This is the march toward finishing the great unfinished work, the Hellenizing influence, going out and making sure that, you know, in Jesuit fashion, not to be mean, but in the reconnaissance sort of fashion, hey, we're just here on a peacekeeping mission. Just want to know how many of you there are, what you guys believe, what you think, who you know. And oh, by the way, here are a couple of things you might want to know. And then once you've done that, again, total information awareness en route to full spectrum dominance. Where are we being encouraged to mind our own business? Like we used to. It used to be so many of these terms that are just should be anathema still. Disrupt used to be, if you were disruptive, that was you probably got in trouble. Unbelievable. Now it's you know what everyone's striving for in technology. Be as just disruptive as you can. You probably get rewarded to the tune of tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. It's very crazy. And again, the one question that stands out in my mind that really is the overarching issue, and it dovetails into so many things, so many ways, is that question, who's in charge, who decides, that distinction between Christianity and communism. And ironically, if we are if we are not in constant dialogue, I suppose, or communication with the Holy Spirit, then what happens? It hastens the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Why is he taken out of the way? Nobody's checking in, maybe. Because the state has become God effectively worldwide in Plato's Republic. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, sierramadreprecious metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Just passing through. Never did meet my father. Never did have no son. So when my time is over, all my name is dead and gone. I'm on a train to nowhere. And it's running right on time. I'm in no rush to get there. Right until the end of the night. I'm on a train to nowhere. Just like I've always been.
Welcome back. So what are we supposed to do? What is the guiding advice? I would say Romans 12. You know, Romans 12 comes before Romans 13. That's provocative. And Paul reminds us, you know, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. which is also the sobering reminder of Hebrews 10, I think, verse 30. Interesting there. You know, it's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so the Rumsfeldian perspective would be, you know, you got to fight fire with fire and find all the enemies of your enemy, and become frenemies with them and team up and, you know, but where does that end? You know, the Christian admonition is grace and mercy, because we will receive the same grace that, and mercy that we extended. And James reminds us that mercy triumphs over judgment. However, there is the Bolshevik impulse. So, you know, that's why I say, who's in charge, who decides? It's incumbent upon each one of us to, you know, check in by way of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and, you know, probably ahead of time, you want to think about, you know, maybe noodle on some of that stuff. Anyway, back to the phones. Chris in Virginia, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, I'll put your show right up there next to Robert Ravel, man. I'll just say it. I'm allowed to.
Right on.
Yeah, I think, actually, two quick things. One, I like the way you approach life, I guess, whereas we can fight like hell to change things, or we can do the right thing, and the philosophy of it kind of takes some of the sting out of the pain of it, like just understanding it. Do you think philosophy is a refuge?
It can be, I suppose, but the problem is, again, you know, that question. I just keep coming back to that question, who's in charge, who decides? And historically, from what I have been able to glean from history, as I've said, from particularly, I mean, definitely from antiquity, but especially from about, you know, Johannes Gutenberg's movable type printing press forward, we are steeped in occult forces, essentially. That's what we are reminded of. And the problem, you know, with that is that it ends up leading us astray. So, yeah, it can be a refuge, but I think it has to be couched in terms
Bible.
Of who's in charge, who decides.
Correct. I guess I'd say more Christian philosophy.
Sure.
If you stay attached at the hip to that,
yeah.
Biblical principles.
Yeah.
That we can understand and discern what's going on that we can't change, but at least we can have the satisfaction in our soul that we understand what the heck's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, definitely, it can be a refuge, but I think, you know, again, I think it's been weaponized. I think that has been exploited. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for, you know, Paul says, indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. That's the philosophical bent. And it's real easy to turn that into an idol for anyone.
To become wise in your own estimation, going back
yeah.
to
that. Yeah,
sort of,
and to seek solace in that as a god, so to speak, or as an idol.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Hey, real quick, the other thing. One thing I noticed with this main shooter was very interesting and very infuriating was mm-hmm. that the teleprompter readers, I like to call them, they yeah. kept saying all those people up there are sheltering in place. They continue to shelter in place.
Yeah.
Can I just say after the break?
Yeah, yeah. Stick around.
Okay, real quick.
We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
I can't hide myself. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home.
Being a man is what you make it. You can't always live up to expectations. You try to please everybody while you struggle, so you fake it and end up out of balance, compromising situations. As a good man, do what he should, man. Give everything he has and do everything he could, man. You might find yourself feeling all alone inside a house you built that you don't recognize as home. And that's what my daddy told me, and I'll tell my son the same. Now that I'm older, I relate, and I actually feel his pain. He never cried, he might have lied, but he did not complain. And he said, son, one day you'll have to do the same. I get emotional when I stop and think, and I look around beyond the county lines of my small town. I think about all the men out there who feel like I do now, who are screaming on the inside but won't ever make a sound.
I can't hide myself. I don't expect you to understand. I just hope I can explain what it's like to be a man. It's a lonely road, and they don't care about what you know. It's not about how you feel, but what you provide inside that home. Don't give up, keep fighting. As
as a man, our son is
we're back. And our father's actually... Yeah, okay, we're back.
Can you hear me?
Chris, you were saying, go ahead.
Yep. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I didn't notice anyone else talking about this at the time when the shooter was on the loose. And at the top and bottom of every hour, which is when the left and the occult forces absolutely excoriate, just love their propaganda that they get to spew on. So basically they were saying about, he's still on the loose, and residents continue to remain sheltered in place. And they say it over and over again.
And so,
like, and this was national news. So it's like programming. It's like you guys are programming.
Shades of stuff like Katrina. You know, the knock and talks, and hey, you know, are you harboring a terrorist? Of course not. You know,
I mean, these guys are complete bastards. They're running this, propaganda news organizations. I just didn't hear anybody else talking that, but that really stood out for me. That guys are trying to pull this COVID crap again.
Yeah.
And remain sheltered, or trying to normalize it, right? Program everyone to be normal. You know where I'm going. So I just wanted to say that. And that's one thing that I really think the left, whatever forces it be, love the top and bottom of every hour. You can just tell they love it.
Yeah.
They get the program. What do you think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a sickness. It's an addiction that feeds on itself, like all of them. So when are you safe enough? When are you secure enough? You know, there's the old cliche, those who would, you know, trade liberty for safety and security deserve and will have neither. But
what was that term that you used earlier about safety something complex?
Safetyism.
Something?
That was from Chamath Palihapitiya. Posted on X.
How new is that? Is that a new concept, a new phrase?
Yeah, it's from the book The Coddling of the American Mind by Greg Lukianoff and Jonathan Haidt. And so they talk about it.
Wow. Awesome. That's all I had, Chris. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you, Chris. Much appreciated, as always. Definitely. Yeah. You know, practically speaking, like I said, when is enough enough? Like, where do you draw the line? Who decides what is safe and secure enough? Because the same forces that Chris in Virginia is talking about that want to permanently, basically mar us all, you know, traumatize us all permanently to the point that it's sort of epigenetically printed on our DNA that, you know, we have to, this concept of safetyism, you know, what's enough? Where are you most safe and secure? And obviously the answer is in prison. And I've talked about this for years, how people can know, but you know, you have, the example, the cliche of like Joe Pantoliano's character in The Matrix, Cypher, you know, who says, I know this steak isn't real, but I don't care. And that's that concept, I think, that our human nature that has been weaponized and exploited against us, that when given the choice, I mean, there are the social media, you know, meme type things that float around. And I can hear Lark reminding us of meme warfare and the concept that guys like Callie Lassen outlined and, you know, these things that we've talked about over the years. But, you know, that meme that says one of these lions is one of them has all the food he needs and he's safe and secure and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he's in a cage. The other one is responsible for his own well-being and that of his pride and et cetera. And that one's out on the African safari. And people see that. What's everyone saying these days? Everyone's getting sucked into this psychopathy of, I mean, talk about schizophrenia. We should have free healthcare. Well, where are you going to go You know, that's, to me, that's like going to Vegas. I'm not an MIT grad, and I don't know how to do those kinds of things those kids do. You know, if I go to Vegas, eventually the house wins. And that's how I feel about the allopathic medical community. I understand the roots. Pretty sure that, you know, based just on what we've seen over the last 20 or 30 years, that we've not only have we reached peak baby, we've reached peak hardware, peak software, at least for us, the consumer. Is hardware, I thought Moore's Law was a thing. Is hardware improving dramatically every 18 to 24 months? I haven't seen it. Is software? It seems to be getting worse. A lot of people in technology are talking about the degradation of software and even hardware. So just judging based on that, I don't think that what's going on at Walter Reed and other places is so that, you know, all dogs can hear their owners for the first time. I suspect it's more along the lines of, you know, surveillance capitalism, total information awareness, and what Ray Kurzweil wrote about in Chapter 11 of The Age of Spiritual Machines, which is a creepy title. What is a spiritual machine? Do we build technology for the ascended masters to come inhabit? Kind of seems that way to me. And then that's the real Skynet moment. And the God of War has been in charge of all of it. That's kind of the point of George Friedman's Brain Bar Budapest talk, is global war coming. All of those technological advancements have been created on the backs of the common people, which reminds me of the Tower of Babel. And now it's like the booster rocket that's being jettisoned. And as it goes out into orbit, there is this growing distance. Reminds me of, things of history like Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free. Increasing distance. It's the curling release. That's what I call it. Yeah, no, it's the same. Our interest, your interest, it's the same. And then there's this widening distance. In Milton Mayer's They Thought They Were Free, he wrote, this separation of government from people, this widening gap took place so gradually, so insensibly. It's, you know, the inevitability, the doctrine of the inevitability of gradualism. Each step disguised, perhaps not even intentionally, as temporary emergency measure or associated with true patriotic allegiance or with real social purposes. Any of this ringing a bell? And all the crises and reforms, real reforms too, so occupied the people that they did not see the slow motion underneath of the whole process of government growing remoter and remoter. The curling release. There it goes. No, I can still see it. It's right there. Yeah, sure it is. All right, back to the phones. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Morning, sir.
Are we in the time of delusions?
Well, there is evidence to suggest so, and it's an industry. It's an entire cottage industry. So I would say Hayek's Chapter 11, The End of Truth, is in full effect, and it's definitely a cottage industry.
Well, 32 years ago, I finally decided to read God's PDR. I've been working in the AMA PDR for 30 years, but I was a dead man walking, and when I came across Isaiah's description of delusions, I said, I can't afford to have that, so what is the requisite to avoid the delusions of Isaiah's description? So I did a 180-degree turn, and at 82, I don't have to deal with the delusions that the AMA, which you referred to, programmed into me. And the clarity of thought is the real blessing. It's not just a physical blessing, as promised in Isaiah 58, but also the clarity of mind. And if we don't want to have, the curse of delusions, we need to make sure we're following Isaiah's counsel in Isaiah 58. I'd like to have you expound on that when you get a chance.
I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
Well, Isaiah 58 talks about clothing the naked, feeding the hungry, that's God's fast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fast that he asked for, not the denial of your body or the oppression of your body, but to take care of your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the benefit is that Christ will become your forward, your rearward. Mm-hmm. He'll be lifted up as if on eagle's wings.
Amen. Yeah, it's interesting. So, having a conversation about fasting the other day, I mentioned it during yesterday's broadcast, and you know, the inference or insinuation was by giving up food, you know, it should, you do that in fasting. Fasting is different than just skipping a meal because, you know, you do it intentionally to draw closer to the Lord. And I kind of said, well, you know, when Jesus was tempted, that was the first temptation, right? He was hungry, obviously, after 40 days, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so by nature, that practice should draw us closer together, but to your point, so should some of these other things, which gets back to my point about who's in charge, who decides. And so, you know, it's the old cliche about how do we view these things? Is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. I mean, is what's happening in America bad? Absolutely. I haven't gotten to Peter McCullough's deal, but the Vigilant Fox, what's his name over the Vigilant Fox posted from Dr. Peter McCullough, the COVID shot directly killed more Americans than COVID itself, 540,000 Americans, 18,000 VAERS deaths times an underreporting factor of 30. Died directly from the COVID-19 injections, according to Peter McCullough's estimates. And there's more. Anyway, is that bad? Of course, it's horrifying. But, you know, again, that was kind of why I mentioned John Adams' dissertation on the canon and feudal law and how he said, you know, these kinds of moments should get our attention. And so the question is, who's in charge, who decides, and that hopefully informs our discretion on how to view these things and how to respond.
Well, is not the vaccine the mark of the beast in one form?
I would say, yeah.
You know, I'm disappointed that I don't hear my fellows discussing the real offense in the vaccine. That's the slaughterhouse waste, which is the base material for the vaccine.
Yeah.
And that turns your body against itself.
Yep.
Anyway, when you get a chance.
But you know what? There's a drug for that, though. I mean, when your body, for example, has a hyperactive immune system, we have a drug to settle it down. Well, how did it become hyperactive in the first place? Why is it? Yeah, we had those conversations. I think you and I actually had those conversations at the beginning of the COVID shenanigans. And how that technology does. I mean, that was what, again, that's what Peter Hotez testified in Congress about. That it basically does exactly that. It turns a person's body against itself and it attacks its own immune system as the, you know, the enemy.
See, to me, that's an indication we are God's creation because our body has the same attitude as its creator. Our body says, yeah. Thou shalt have no other bodies before me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a vaca scene is.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. That scripture in Isaiah turned me around 32 years ago. That's God's PDR, physician desk reference.
Mm-hmm.
what's really interesting is the truth is buried, hidden sometimes in the scriptures, and we don't see it until we're asking the question.
Yeah.
And I was asking the question, I was a dead man upright 32 years ago, and I decided, well, I've been laboring in pathology for 3 decades. How come I'm the man in trouble?
Yeah.
And then I read Isaiah 66:3-4:17. Mm-hmm. And I said, ah, there it is, right in my face. And I knew it all along. Anyway, thank
you. Very interesting. Thank you, Tom. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Let the old man in. I want to live this some more. Can't leave it up to him. He's knocking on my door. I knew all of my life that someday it would end. Get up and go outside. Don't let the old man in. Many moons I have lived. My body's weathered and worn. Ask yourself how old you'd be if you didn't know the day you were born. Try to love on your way and stay close to your friends. Toast each sundown with wine and don't let the old man in.
So, how about we play this clip? Let's do this real quick. Speaking of Peter McCullough, in his own words, let's see. Can I do this without making a big mess? I don't know. In the final moments here. That's way more than we need here, but can we play that clip when you're ready? Minute and 12 seconds long. Peter McCullough. In his own words, the cure was worse than the disease. I mean, by orders of magnitude.
600,000 deaths, but just under 600,000 deaths from the vaccine. We can say that, hands down. What was the number? Do you by chance know the number of deaths from COVID within the same time period?
The number of deaths right now on the books for COVID are at 1.2 million. Now, that's every death that happened with someone testing positive. When there's an analysis of did they really primarily die of COVID, the answer is it's about 10% of that. So it's roughly 120,000 Americans died directly of COVID. Now, one could say that if it was in the context of someone near the end of life, they were robbed of a few days or a few months or of life, and that's a fair argument. But our government encouraged death certificate coding that was so broadly inclusive that even things that were completely unrelated to COVID or COVID pneumonia, if they tested positive, was counted as a COVID death. And we now know the COVID test, the PCR test, can remain positive for many months after the initial infection.
Okay. So that... Yeah, there we go. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. And what is that? Again... You hear it on this network, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum, Cum Catapulte Proscripte Erunt Tum Soli Proscripti Catapultus Habibunt. If you want peace, prepare for war. And when the catapults are outlawed, only the outlaws will have catapults. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. Pray for one another, support the network. We'll catch you on the other side.
Anybody in politics understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS. This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.